We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about this one. I mean, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so gonna jump on in here. I got it. Wait, by the way, one quick text. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, says her name is pronounced Kami Kami. I don't think it says that on her birth certificate, but okay. All right, let's jump in here. So my first dipper is called "These Are Not Serious People," and I say that because I'm watching some of what happens at the DNC. I'm watching the way they conduct themselves in policy. I'm watching the things that they're trying to portray in the gaslighting they're trying to do on the American people. It's like there is zero effort to take responsibility for anything. And I know, by the way, that, okay, they don't want to look bad. I get it. Nobody wants to just look bad. But at some point, it's not spin. It's just a lie. Or it's just ridiculous. Or it's just fallacious. I mean, there is stuff happening right now that you look at and go, you can't be taken seriously anymore. And what do I say when I mean that? Well, here's a classic example. This is a story that just broke in the last 24 hours. I pulled this one off of a website called LifeSet.com. But you may have seen this. So Secretary of Labor Gina Raimondo, working for the Biden administration, Secretary of Labor, she was in an interview with, I think it was a CNN, I'm going from memory here, but I believe it was a CNN host, was interviewing her and confronted her with the fact that the Trump campaign has now called out job growth figures that had been portrayed by the Biden administration one way, which have now been downgraded, like drastically, and I'll tell you about that in a second. Her response was, well, I don't believe that because I don't trust anything that Trump says. The anchor to her credit goes, well, it was actually Bureau of Labor Statistics figures. And she went, well, I haven't seen that. She's the Secretary of Labor. And the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, has come out with a report about the figures that her own department has gotten wrong. And her response is, well, Trump lies, and I don't think I believe anything he says. But when she's confronted with the fact that, no, these are real, and they came from your department, her response quickly was, I haven't seen that. How do we take you serious? How do you hold a cabinet-level position? You have one job, and it involves labor. And yet the labor statistics completely elude her, and she's willing to lie about it. And when she's caught in the lie, she doesn't know what to do except say, well, I haven't seen that yet. You're the boss. If you haven't seen it, who has? So here's the thing. LifeSet reports the Bureau of Labor Statistics has dramatically revised the job growth figures for the first quarter of 2024, revealing that up to a million jobs that had previously been reported actually didn't exist. What? I get it. There's a percentage point missing. There are jobs that got revised up or down because they discovered that some of the reporting was not accurate. What? A million jobs? There's no way. There's no way that wasn't known. They're in campaign mode. They're desperate. They're so willing to do what it takes to be seen as the ones that they'll say anything. The story goes on to say the shocking adjustment has sparked a fierce backlash from the Trump campaign, who accused the current administration of, by the way, that's Kamala Harris's administration, accusing them of deceitful practices aimed at distorting economic realities ahead of the election. So Bloomberg came out this week with a starkly different picture of the job growth that had been portrayed as having been up through the first quarter, March, indicating that it was far weaker than previously estimated. Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo contributed to the updated figures. It reflects a substantial reduction in payroll growth, potentially cutting it by at least 600,000 jobs, roughly 50,000 fewer jobs each month, up to a million total jobs previously reported, not real. Y'all, how do we take the Secretary of Labor seriously when her own department statistics are embellished, and then when she's caught, she's not even aware? What does she do for a living? Trump campaign says, quote, Kamala was cooking the books the whole time, lying to the American people. This is not a revision. This is a lie. It's election interference. I would agree. These are not serious people. That's a classic example. Had it been a revised report that was just out there and then they reissued a new report to revise the numbers, you'd go, a million? No way they didn't know. And then on top of that, the secretary herself is trying to gaslight the people and or she's just ignorant of the facts. Neither one's good. But I watch the way they're doing things right now. And like I said, these are not serious people, and they want to run the country. I guess I ought to go ahead and bring up the point again that Kamala Harris, the new nominee, did not actually get voted on the other night. But Phil, I saw them. They did the roll call. Everybody was so excited. They shouted out. It was like a cheering event. The Republicans did that too. That's the way this works. No, not really. Not really. Keep in mind, the people that want to run this country from the Democrat side so badly mangled the calendar, so badly failed to plan appropriately, that they had scheduled their convention so late that they were not going to be able to comply with multiple states' state laws on getting their people certified and on the ballot. Because the way it works is you have the primary gives its votes, and the delegates who are then voted in show up. Those delegates are committed to vote for a certain candidate, and they show up at the convention and they cast their votes accordingly. It's like they're the representative of people in their state. They cast their votes as the delegates. And then once the delegate votes are tallied, you find out whether or not, boom, you know, the person actually is going to be the certified candidate who is then certified by the party back to the various states so they can put the name on the ballot. That's the process. The Democrats who want to run this country, who want to run the IRS and the Board of Education and, the Department of Education and the Department of Energy and the U.S. military, the people who want to run this country so mangled it that they set the conference way too late. So they had to go out and do a five-day round of online balloting and Zoom calls a week ago to make sure they got Kamala's name to the states on time so she wouldn't be left off the ballot by state law. Think about that. That alone is like hard to take them serious. But then they had the fake ceremonial vote. Now, on the one hand, I don't blame them. They want to have a moment. They want to go, whoop, whoop, everybody came to the big show. Let's all do the big show thing. Well, so they went to the convention and everybody cast their votes and they tallied the numbers and they celebrated and each state cast their vote and they were so excited, except that it wasn't really real. How do you take this serious? It wasn't real. I mean, she's never been in a contested primary. She's never won a caucus. She's never won any real votes on the national level for the Democrat Party. And yet, she basically got ushered in on a Zoom call and then had a fake vote. This is like, think about this. What just happened with Kamala Harris is like the quick Vegas wedding. And then later on, you have the big ceremony for the family and friends to actually watch what has already happened. That's what it is. She went off to Vegas. She and Tim Walz had Elvis hook them up at the wedding chapel. And then now they're going to go ahead and have the big show, you know, for all the family and friends to come in. But it's already done. Okay, that's where we are. How do you take that serious? I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. You look at this and you go, huh, I just don't see it. I don't know how you take this serious. There is so much more here. And one of the ones that I'll unpack is, as soon as we get back from the break here in a minute, but one of the ones that I'll unpack is the latest from Tim Walz. Now, I don't know for a fact. I don't think he was top on the list. I think he was the one that would take the gig. That's what I think. I mean, he's the backup plan. He's the plan C. And I also wonder, did they vet him good, or were they stuck with what they could get? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is, it seems like on a daily basis, we are finding out that there are things about Tim Walz that should give us great pause. Things that he has done, things that he has chosen not to do, and things that he has chosen to claim about himself that do not ring true. Most notably right now is the big kerfuffle that's happened about his military service. Did he serve? Yeah. He retired as a master sergeant. Leave it at that. He could say safely that he was the acting command sergeant major for a period of time. But what he also did, though, was he has chosen to accept the accolades and make the claims himself that he is a retired command sergeant major, and he's not. He also, oh, by the way, got the warning order for deployment to the war zone and chose to drop his retirement papers rather than go with the men who he was proud to be the acting command sergeant major of. It's a mess. So I don't normally pick on somebody's military service, but I will pick on stolen valor. And that's where we are with him. Except when we get back from this break, I'll tell you, there's something new that came up with him. And it's not like a little bit. It's just kind of bizarre. And he actually claims it for himself on mailouts, and yet it's not true. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. These are not serious people.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower.
Hey, I'm watching, real quickly, I'll tell you this. The breaking news I said earlier about Trump being down on the southern border in Cochise County, Arizona, at the border wall. He's giving a speech. And, man, they've been Big Rig, do you think are we seeing, like, clips, or has he been speaking the entire time like this?
I think he's been speaking.
I mean, that's a long time to stand in a coat and tie in the hot Arizona sun in August. A group of them. I know it's getting kind of intense when I noticed that the people who were standing behind him started passing out water bottles. but stay hydrated. Trump's talking. Anyway, he just relinquished the microphone to someone, and I think they're making a fairly strong presence there in their press conference at the southern border. Several things coming in the text lines. Let me see what we got here. Navy Phil from Athens says, as always, love the monologues. There's a video out there where police are using paintball guns to enforce Walz's COVID curfew. Yep. Driving citizens off their porch into their house. Listen, Tim Walz does not care about civil liberties. I mean, I've seen that video. He was letting BLM riot and have their way with his city. His wife talking about leaving the windows open so she could smell the tires burning because it was her touchstone to the moment. At the same time, police in his jurisdictions were allowed to go down the streets if they saw you on your front porch during COVID, on your own front porch. They started firing paintball guns and yelling at you. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I hope your name is not short for Philadelphia. It is not. No, it is not. It is Philip with two L's, by the way. John from Harvest said, I find it interesting that Tim Walz spent more time pushing his role as an assistant high school coach yesterday instead of his 24 years of guard service. Yeah. Maybe because his lies about military service have already been exposed. Yeah. So this thing about Tim Walz that I was about to talk about. I mean, there's some things you look at and go, okay, I see where the slip-up was. You meant to say this, but you said that. Or you said something, or somebody said it about you, and you had to turn around and go, well, no, it's actually this, but thank you very much. I've had that happen. I've had people, I served with Special Forces units. I have. I've served in Special Forces units, but I am not Special Forces qualified. So I had somebody one time that said, Phil was a Green Beret. No, he wasn't. Phil was a Ranger. And I worked with and in Special Forces units, but I myself was not one. And so I immediately corrected the moment and thanked them, and I understood this. I mean, I get it. You don't let this stuff perpetuate, and you certainly don't say it yourself. And I'm not talking about just military, sir. I'm talking about anything. Especially public figures have to be very careful because they are in a position where their verbiage can carry weight. And the things they say are designed to not just make a difference, but also to sort of promote the public trust. And when you violate that public trust, it is much harder to gain back, and it can have ripple effects. Tim Walz, story here on, I got this for Life Set again. Tim Walz, the Democrat VP nominee, has recently been sharing personal stories about his family's struggles with infertility. Okay. because he's a real guy. He's out there. He's talking about the things, suggesting that Republicans want to restrict in vitro fertilization, which we don't. He's portrayed this as a deeply personal issue, one that he's highlighted in various interviews. In one such interview, Walt stated, "Thank God for IVF. My wife and I have two beautiful children." Okay. The narrative was then echoed by the Tim Walz for Governor campaign. His own campaign, when he ran for governor, sent out a fundraising mailer that said, "My wife and I used IVF to start a family." New York Times now reports that did not happen. They use another fertility procedure, which is nothing like that. It's called an IUI procedure, but it's not at all IVF. IVF is a totally different thing. You kind of know because you're going through the medical procedures. You know what you're doing. But when he saw the IVF arguments and the things being said, the guy that's hard to take serious glommed onto an idea and began to announce things about himself once again that weren't true. Then he even had it put on a mailer and mailed out to people's houses. Despite this key distinction, Walz continues to assert his claims. In early August, he took to Twitter to criticize Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance, saying, quote, "If it was up to J.D. Vance, I wouldn't have a family because of IVF. Democrats are in blah, 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 blah." Who does that? Who does that? Who takes something as easily definable and yet often sensational and creates a moment about themselves that they like? Okay, bottom line is this. It's hard to take him serious. These are not serious people. Tim Walz is so desperate to be liked and identified. He's on par with or more so than Joe Biden. You know, everywhere Joe goes, it's, "I grew up in a synagogue. I grew up in a temple. I grew up in a Muslim enclave. I grew up in a clown suit." I don't know. Pick one. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Carried a chain. I mean, it's like, why do you make crap up every day? "Well, you know, my son died in Iraq." No, he didn't. He had brain cancer back here in the United States. On and on and on, Joe Biden. Well, guess what? Now we got Tim Walz. Military service. Thank you for your service, sir. Don't lie about it. But he does. IVF? Why are you doing that? Big deal about being a coach? Well, he was an assistant coach for a period of time, yes. And then you just look at the whole thing and go, it's hard, sir, to take you serious when you keep doing stuff like this. But that's the top of the ticket right now. That's the top of the ticket. Brian from Decatur says, Brian corrected his typo real quick before I read it. Thank you, Brian. He says, "Correct me if I'm wrong. However, it appears a lot of these Democrat politicians are just shameless liars and should be called just that." Yeah, their spin, like I said, their spin, and then there's just flat out lies. So I don't have an explanation. I mean, I just don't. It's bizarre. When we come back, I'm going to wrap this thing up in the next segment. But listen, you might want to know that apparently queer theory has something to do with nuclear weapons in the Biden administration. These are not serious people. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Turbo Thursday. Oh, look, our yellow dog, Mike from Huntsville, has texted in. Pray tell, what insults did he cast upon us today? He says, "You guys are just a bunch of weirdos." "Your guy was a draft-dodging porn star, yada, 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 things I won't say on the air. And remember the Access Hollywood tapes, blah, blah, blah." Yes, I do. I recognize that you want all those things to be talked about. And some of them have never been proven. And some of them are figments of people's imagination. And some of them have been admitted to and regretted. And yet at the same time, the guy who's currently running is a liar. So let me ask you this, Mike. I guess what you're saying is, don't talk about my guy's lies. I like your guy's lies being bigger. That's what you want. That's what you want to say. And it doesn't work that way. It also has to be grounded in truth. Just saying.
Bob from Madison, how was Tampon Walz rated in Minnesota as a governor? I don't know. Although I will say this, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was in his second term, so at least he was rated enough to get his job back. But yeah, and keep in mind too, Minnesota, Republicans haven't won Minnesota since like 1972. So it's a blue state, and it's got some weird policies. And him agreeing to put feminine hygiene products in boys' bathrooms is just clearly an indication of what he'd be like if he were governing at the national level. All right. Speaking of that, I know that Mike from Huntsville wants us to be considered the weird ones, but I will just remind you guys that we're looking at the Biden administration right now, where the Director of Health and Human Services, the Surgeon General of the United States of America, is a transgender, and we see all kinds of madness happening throughout their administration. There's this thing that I don't know much about, but they call it queer theory. By the way, when I was a kid, that was a bad word. I wasn't allowed to say that word. But apparently, we're in a new day now. And the left can openly talk about queer theory. What is queer theory? The definition I have here from the article I'm about to quote you from Fox News is, quote, queer theory is a field of study closely related to feminist theory that examines sex and gender-based norms. It shines a light on the harm. Okay. Now, listen, I'm gonna go ahead and just tell you, this is a blah, 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 blah. It's a long definition of what I'm about to do. I read it, and in my mind, I start hearing Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I don't know what's being said. I like to think that I'm fairly verbal. I play Wordle every day. I usually win. I like having a vocabulary that's rather robust. And yet I read some of what's being just imagined here, and I don't know what's happening, because here's the deal. You can't it's hard. These are not serious people. In a recent hire at the nuclear security wing of the Department of Energy, by the way, I had someone that I worked with and for in the military, who then went on to be a major player in security for Department of Energy sites. And he told me one time, he said, Phil, it's like I have my own private army. And, you know, and look, security at the nuclear sites is a major deal. This person's name is now Sneha Nair. I don't know what the name is. Sneha Nair, who apparently is female. I don't trust anything anymore. Sneha Nair has previously been on record calling for disarmament policies, wanting to reduce or eliminate nuclear weapons, is now arguing in his, her, its new role at the Department of Energy that queer theory is essential to the agenda for advancing nuclear national security. What? So yes, Sneha Nair is a special assistant at the National Nuclear Security Administration, got hired this year, believes that eradicating purported white supremacy in the nuclear field as well as queering of nuclear weapons. What does that mean? Queering of nuclear weapons. Queering of nuclear weapons. It's part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion push that she believes is essential for deterring threats to nuclear energy facilities in the U.S. His, her, its statement is, quote, finally, queer theory informs the struggle for nuclear justice and disarmament. Queer theory helps to shift the perception of nuclear weapons as instruments for security by telling the hidden stories of displacement, illness, and trauma caused by their production and testing. I feel stupider for having read that. I just do. My mouth needs a shower now. My gosh. Queer theory. Now, what does this mean? She explicitly explains that DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is a national security matter. DEI principles and advancement must be considered crucial assets for strengthening our nuclear security implementation. Why? DEI does not hire the best people. Obviously, she got hired. DEI does not hire the experts. DEI hires the demographics. We want people in there who are going to secure our national and our nuclear security facilities. We want people in there who can do the job. Not who look pretty and break glass ceilings. But now let me read you Charlie Brown's teacher. Fox News, Dateline, today. Queer Theory of Nuclear Weapons, authored by Snehat Nair. The Queering of Nuclear Weapons, Queer Theory is a field of study closely related to feminist theory that examines sex and gender-based norms. It shines a light on the harm done by nuclear weapons through uranium mining and nuclear tests and the tax money spent on nuclear weapons. The Queer Lens, what is that? The Queer Lens prioritizes the rights and well-being of people over the abstract ideas of national security. I got news. My national security is not that abstract. Secure it, please, on a national basis. There. Anyway, it challenges the mainstream understanding of nuclear weapons. It questions whether they truly deter nuclear war, stabilize geopolitics, and reduce the likelihood of conventional war. Queer Theory asks, who created these ideas? How are they being upheld? Whose interests do they serve? And whose experiences are being excluded? She went on to say, Queer Theory also identifies how nuclear weapons discourse is gendered. Nuclear deterrence is associated with rationality and security, while disarmament and justice for nuclear weapons victims are coded as emotion and lack of understanding as the real mechanics of security. Charlie Brown's teacher. What did that even mean? By the way, it is impossible to take this administration seriously. I feel certain that if I were to hang out in the White House right now, I would probably find something that I could agree with. It's very likely. They might have the right blend of coffee in the cafeteria. I don't know. They who knows? But on matters of substantive issues of policy, national security, these are not serious people. They cannot be taken seriously when they do things like hire knuckleheads who advocate for DEI and queer theory as an enhancement of our nuclear security. And that, by the way, is who wants another 4 years to go at it. Listen, it goes on and on and on. I will tell you this. I took longer on that one than I meant to, but there's a couple of other pieces here to this "these aren't serious people" peach that I think need to be pointed out. And one of which is the statement that was made by Biden himself the other night. I mentioned it briefly in the day after his DNC speech. He came in on Monday night. They threw him out there and got rid of him. They clapped politely. They sent him on his way. They didn't even let him have a prime time. They made sure the schedule was running long so they didn't have to risk him saying something bad during prime time. His speech was not even able to be finished till after midnight. It was the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen done to the office of the presidency. But one of the things that happened in his speech that raised a lot of eyebrows is in the middle of his speech, he got off script. Ooh, that's never good with Joe. Got off script and he said that those protesters out in the street, they have a point. And he went down the road of supporting basically Hamas and Palestine on an equal basis with our ally Israel. And what's happened now is you've got people like Josh Shapiro, who is the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, a major blue state, who is being stuck with having to answer questions by the press about how he feels about those comments. And he's having to do a kabuki dance like you would not believe. But that's exactly what happens when you have people that are hard to take serious. Patrick from Grove Oaks says, please don't read anything like that again. I feel a little sick after hearing that. I almost feel like hang on a second. Patrick, I hate to do this to you, brother, but I'm going to, before we go to the break, I got to read part of that again and see if it's all right. Tell me what this means. Big Rig, you ready? Here we go. Queer Theory identifies how the nuclear weapons discourse is gendered. Nuclear deterrence is associated with rationality and security, while disarmament and justice for nuclear weapons victims are coded as emotion and lack of understanding of the real mechanics of security. Fair enough. Take it to a break, Big Rig. We'll do that right now. We'll come back, take a few text messages, and move this thing forward, man. I almost did that one in Woke World. I literally almost saved that one for Adventures in Woke World. Then I realized it actually was real, and it fit right into the whole thing about these not being serious people. Good Lord. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what I'm saying. Who's on the line? Wolverine Dan's on the phone. Wolverine Dan, what you doing, buddy?
Well, my heart starts pumping again. I went to the grocery store. They ought to have like a 220 line at the end of every register and conveyor belt. So as soon as you get the from the cash register, you got the jumper pads, you know, in the hospital where they put on your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think my heart stopped, and I was telling the girl, you got anything back there to get me shocked back up because I think I can't breathe.
It's unreal, brother. I mean, listen, I had to help bring in the groceries the other day, and it didn't take much effort. Charlene went to the store, and I thought $200 should not be carried in one quick load. I mean, that's all it was.
Thank you. With that said, I called Tom Big Rig before I got in the air what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
Phil, here's the deal, Phil. You know, if the party, whatever party it is, tell you what they're going to do, either side.
Yeah.
If they tell you what they're going to do, okay? And you know what they're going to do, and they've done it before, and they're going to do it again. And I said that to Big Rig. He said, well, people don't want to vote for Donald President Trump because they don't like him. Okay. Now, if you had a commander general that was leading you into war that knew everything about the opponent or the other side, how to defeat them, less casualties, and it's as safe as it could possibly be, and you trust him, you believe in him, but he's very harsh, he's very rough, but he gets the job done.
Yeah.
So, but wait a minute. If I'm on the other side, the way it is right now, I'm speaking of the left, okay, I want someone that's going to talk smooth, big talker, whatever, give me a bunch of promises and never come through. I'm going to take that commander general. I might not like his tone of voice, but he's going to bring me home safe. And that's the difference. If you're not voting for President Trump because you don't like the way he acts, then you shouldn't be able to vote. You should vote on what's best for the country, okay? And actually, I wouldn't hold it against you if you're on food stamps or government assistance. I would vote for the Democrats too because I know I'm going to get it from them. That's an educated vote, not just because you don't like the person, Phil.
You are spot on, man. And listen, that is like what Rush used to always call the low information voter. They don't care. They vote on emotion and personality. And
no.
I mean, look back to what your example was. Look back at George Patton. He was not always loved by the troops. In fact, he often got in trouble because he had no bedside manner. But he was one of the greatest field commanders ever, and highly effective on the battlefield. And that's what they needed.
Well, it's a shame that it's come. It's a shame it's come to this. Here's what scares me: if for some reason it doesn't fall the way I hopefully it will, and let's say it doesn't, and let's say they win. So, what we're is this a steamrolling thing every four years voting that the uneducated voter is getting more uneducated and believing whatever they say? And we're doomed then. That we'll never win anything, and it's going to be a communist country.
Well, what's crazy is some people believe that you have to move back to the center to be able to truly govern, and I don't agree with that. I think that people respect and want to see conservative policies because they know what the effect of it is.
Exactly. So here we go. So, I mean, you know, and the only thing we could do now, hopefully, maybe President Trump could kind of tone it down a little bit. Okay, that wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt. But if he stays on policies and what's going to be best for people in this country, if you are educated, obviously you're going to lean toward that way or go that way. But if you're not educated and you're an uneducated voter, you're going to vote for the movie star kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, more to come, brother, but we got work to do between now and the finals of the election, right?
All right, brother. You got it.
See ya. Bye-bye. Couple of text messages. JT from Monrovia says, turned on my radio, headed for home, heard about, wow, okay, said I'm not sure what you're, I think he's voice texting to me. JT, I'm having trouble with your text. Says, turn on my radio, headed for home, heard about we are working. I have no words other than what, I don't know what's happening. Okay. JT, brother, you got to quit voice texting. It ain't working out. Jerry from Decatur says, queer theory sounds like And I don't know what that is either. Oh, limp-wristed. Okay, there it is. Limp-wristed good buddy stuff. Okay, yeah, got it. Airborne, he says. Jerry, airborne to you. Patrick from Grove Oak. I read it again. He goes, thanks. I threw up a little. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I think I figured out why people like Mike from Huntsville say that Trump and Vance are weird, because in today's world, being normal is weird. There you go. I think you may have just cracked the code. Teresa from Town Creek sends me a meme. Yes, it is clown world at the DNC. Yes, it is. And by the way, those are some creepy looking clowns. John from Harvest.
I think it's an AI picture. That's why they look so creepy.
Well, all I know is I'm not one of those that has a clown phobia, but I'm pretty sure I would leave that room in a heartbeat. Just saying. There's like some axe murdering clowns in that group. I can just tell. John from Harvest says, the curse of the intelligentsia is their ability to rationalize and redefine. Ordinary people lacking that gift are forced to face reality. That's Thomas Sowell. What a great quote. And by the way, Thomas Sowell is one of my favorites. I'm not sure there's anything that guy says that is not just on par. Steve from Tennessee says, you're wrong. Libs are as serious as cancer. If you're rational or godly, they are serious about unserious things. They are dangerous. Perfect. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back.